Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes. A Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here's our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Lakeview and the Barton home, where Charlotte is bringing up the Barton children, and the Barton children are bringing up problems. Today, Charlotte meets a new one, and it all begins one Sunday morning as she sits down to breakfast with young Bobby Barton.
Here's the milk for your oatmeal, Robert. Well, looks as if you and I are eating all alone.
Jack said he'd be down in a minute. He's trying to make up his mind about a necktie.
Oh, I never saw a boy so fond of loud neckties as Jack. Come on now, eat your oatmeal, son.
Oh, oatmeal.
Seen anything of Barbara?
Yeah, her door was open. She was trying to fix her hair and read a book at the same time.
That's a good trick if you can do it. Fix your head on the outside while you fill it up on the inside. What was the book?
Oh, something called Are You a Genius? Genius. What's a genius, Aunt Charlotte?
A genius is a person with a remarkable aptitude for doing things. But confidentially, I think it's a GI who gets out of KP. Come on now, no more talk now, and eat your oatmeal. Good for you.
Oh, that's the trouble with oatmeal. It just lays there and looks like it's good for you.
Yes, I know. If somebody could invent a breakfast food that's good for you but looks like it's bad for you, they'd make a million. Come on, son. Now, children who eat their oatmeal grow up to be big, strong men.
Men?
Uh-huh.
Did you always eat your oatmeal?
Yes, but I ate another brand.
I'll take toast.
No, you won't now. Now, let's pretend something. Let's imagine that oatmeal is an island in the Pacific.
You mean like the milk is the ocean around it, kind
of? There's a lot of white caps out there today, aren't there?
How about some toast?
No, not yet now. Now, let's pretend now that you're the Army, the Navy, and the Marines. Now, you're going to take that island.
Me? The Army, the Navy, and the Marines?
Yes. Now, what's the first thing you do?
Well, I'd bet the Navy just blow the top off this old mountain here.
Right. Don't blow it off, though. Take it off with your spoon. Don't put it in the ocean.
Why not?
Oh, it would be a hazard to navigation. Put it in your mouth.
Okay. Now, watch this. The Marines are going to establish a beachhead.
Say, the Marines certainly took that situation in hand. Why, there isn't any beach left.
Now, watch the Army. They're going to bulldoze out a landing strip.
Oh, that's a wonderful landing strip. But how about that harbor up there in the northwest corner? It looks kind of small. You might want to anchor a battleship.
Don't worry. I'll have the Phoebes dig it deeper. Just watch this.
That's a good boy. Fine.
Hey, Aunt Charlotte.
Something wrong?
I've eaten up my island.
All right, Robert, take your bowl out to the kitchen and bring in that other quart of ocean from the icebox.
Morning, Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, good morning, Jack. That's high. Sit down quick so I can't see all of it.
Why, do you think it's too loud?
Well, not any louder than a brass band playing Accentuate the Positive.
Say, Aunt Charlotte, tell me something, will you?
Yeah?
What do you think of a girl that would deliberately scheme and connive to get a fella to come to her house?
I think it's wonderful if he's the laundry man.
You know who I'm talking about. That Chester Van Orden that Barbara's invited here. For my money, he's strictly a square with a flair for hot air.
Why, Jack, is that nice? You've never even met him.
So what? I've still got to give up my room to him.
Ah, so that's the trouble. Well, he'd only be here a few days.
And all the time the state public speaking contest is on, what about me? I have to sleep on a cot in the basement for Chester Van Orden.
But, Jack, I'm sure he's a very nice young man.
Yeah, I know. He's state president of the Associated High Schools Declamatory Club. But I still don't see why Barbara had to write to him and ask him.
Jack, she's the president of our high school. She's the president of our high school club, and they might have a lot in common.
Still leaves me curled up around the furnace.
But I think Barbara's being very hospitable.
You don't know her. There's more to her than meets the eye.
She'll do all right with just what meets the eye.
Yeah, I know, but just the same, she's...
Well, good morning, Aunt Charlotte. Sorry I'm late for breakfast.
Hey, what's that on top of your head?
It's my hair, naturally.
Well, you better stay inside. This is the season the birds are building nests.
Aunt Charlotte, make him stop.
Well, Barbara, it does look a little severe, pulled back from your forehead that way.
Well, I think that as long as I've got a high forehead, I may as well show it. After all, I am the mental type.
You? Oh, brother, wait till the gang sees that hairdo.
I'm not interested in what the gang may think.
Oh, yeah? Not even the boys?
No, and I'm not interested in boys either, as such. What I admire in a man is culture and intellect and principle.
Oh, now I've heard everything.
Well, I do. And I bet Aunt Charlotte agrees with me, don't you, Aunt Charlotte? Isn't it important to know what a man stands for?
Yes, dear, but I still wouldn't overlook the things they fall for.
Oh, look at that clock. I have to hurry to get to the railroad station to meet Chester Van Orden.
Oh, Barbara, do you want the paper to read on the bus?
You better take it. Dick Tracy's really in the groove this morning.
No, thank you. I'm not interested in Dick Tracy.
You're not?
I thought you always read Dick Tracy.
I did when I was a child. But I'm an adult now.
Ah, you certainly have grown a lot since yesterday.
And besides, I've got a book to read.
Oh, yes, I heard about that book, Are You a Genius?
Oh, I finished that this morning. Now I'm reading The Correct Approach to Global Economic Stabilization.
The Correct Approach to...
I'll be back around 9:30, Aunt Charlotte.
All right, goodbye, dear.
What do you know about that? The Correct Approach to Global Economic Stabilization. Hey, you know something?
What?
I just figured out what's on her mind. It's the correct approach to Chester Van Orden.
Hey, Jack, can you place on the table so I can sit this down, will
you? Hey, what are you doing with all that milk?
Milk? Don't be silly. Robert's bringing in the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. Good afternoon, Mr. Anderson. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Well, how are you, son? Charlotte, I hear that the State Declamatory Club president is your house guest.
Oh, yes. Chester Van Orden. He arrived this morning.
He's going to deliver the opening address at the state conference Tuesday evening, I hear. So, well, I thought I'd drop by and pick up an advance copy and run it in the paper Tuesday morning.
Of course. Robert, will you run upstairs and ask Chester to come down?
Sure, Charlotte.
And tell him to bring a copy of his speech, huh? Ah, Charlotte, I wish I could be one of those youngsters Tuesday night. Ah, you. How wonderful it is.
Yeah. But there are some of my younger days I don't care to remember.
Oh, that's too bad, Charlotte. What happened to you?
Nothing. That's why I don't like to remember them.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but what I was getting at, Charlotte, is that, I like to keep my youthful viewpoint. And I do hit it off with youngsters. Do they accept me as, well, simply as one of them?
did you send for me, Miss Greenwood?
Yes, I did, Mr. Anderson. This is Chester Van Orden.
Well, hiya, Chester.
Mr. Anderson is the managing editor of the Lakeview Dispatch.
Ah, but don't let that stop you, son. At heart, I'm just a great big kid.
The utter puerility of the expression, Mr. Anderson, imparts complete credence to your thesis.
Yeah, it did.
Mr. Anderson is here to get a copy of your speech, Chester.
Yeah, and a few personal facts about you. We'd like to give you a little break, sonny.
Very well. You may take this down. Yeah. Chester Van Orden's genealogical escutcheon encompasses an assemblage of illustrious predecessors. And what's the matter? Don't you follow me?
Oh, sure. I follow you.
No, I'll bet you'll never find your way back.
Oh, wait a minute, Charlotte. What he said means,
Yes, go on.
Well, in other words...
In other words, my family descended from distinguished ancestors.
Oh, sure. Yeah, mine too, Chester. In fact, my family has been descending for years. how old are you, Chester?
Mentally 30, by psychological time.
But actually 18 by Gru and Watch time.
Well, how about your speech?
Oh, I have a copy right here. I'll read it to you.
No, don't bother.
No trouble. Our future as a great maritime power.
That's a nice short speech.
That is simply the title.
Hey, well, look, if you'll just let me have a shot...
Imposed by the galaxy of spectacular maritime exploits, accenting the conflict of 1812...
Yes, I know, but look, I...
The United States launched a determined policy of maritime...
Yeah, look, I don't need to have this...
Policy of maritime expansion, marinating the eastern coast and establishing naval bases...
Now, wait a minute, please. All I want is a copy of the speech. Thank you. After all, I know how to read. You know, I did go to school once.
You learned to read just going once? Remarkable.
Well, certainly. Now, wait a minute.
I was quite sure you'd gone once. I have perused some of your editorials.
Oh, you've perused them. Now, listen here, you young...
Mr. Anderson, remember, Chester peruses easily.
Brother, all you need is a leather binding and they can call you Britannica.
Miss Greenwood, just why am I called upon to waste my valuable time on this elderly adolescent?
Now, wait, Chester, now. Good-natured kidding is one thing, but you're being rude.
I beg your pardon, Miss Greenwood. Are you undertaking to criticize me?
I'm suggesting that you show a little more respect.
Well, this is positively fantastic. Teaching me ethics. You'll regret this, Miss Greenwood. I'm going upstairs to my room.
Well, that conceited young... Who does he think he
now,
is?
Don't let that child disturb you.
Telling me off. That's what we pay a school tax for, is it? To make a kid smart.
The trouble is, nobody ever made Chester smart in the right place. Charlotte, do we have to run this house just to suit Chester Van Orden?
Well, he is our house guest, Jack.
It's an honor to have him here. Every kid in the declamatory club's been angling to get him. Well, Willa Morton would have given her front teeth to get him.
Willa Morton could spare a few front teeth.
Now, Jack, that's no way to talk.
Willa might not be good looking, but she's the smartest politician in school. And it was really something to beat her out and get Chester as our guest.
Well, what's so good about it?
It isn't often you meet a genius, and it wouldn't hurt any of us to strive to attain to his intellectual level.
Oh, so that's why you've been putting on this highbrow act, huh? My, ain't we got culture.
There's nothing wrong in wanting to be somebody.
Well, Barbara, the best way to be somebody is to be yourself.
And Charlotte, Junior's here.
All right, dear, I'm coming. Good evening, Junior.
Good evening, Miss Greenwood. Hey, I sort of figured I'd wash the lunchroom windows tomorrow. I wonder if you got any kind of washing powder I could use.
Oh, yes, Junior. There's some gold dust somewhere in the house.
Oh, gold dust. Hey, gold dust will be fine.
It's down in the basement.
I'm sorry, Junior, that I wasn't able to get down to the lunchroom today, but we have a house guest.
Oh, that's all right. Why, running a little place like that, lunchroom's duck soup to me. I used to be mixed up in big business. Didn't I ever tell you about working the corner in the market?
No, just about working in the market on the corner.
Oh, yes, yes. I cleaned up $1 million, I did.
Gee, a million? How'd you do that, Junior?
How? Oh, well, I... oh, yes, you... Well, I had a slot machine that put out marriage licenses. Yes, sir, a man could drop a quarter in and get a wife.
You might have done better if a man could drop in his wife and get a quarter.
That's right, Shay. You're slicker in the bottom of a bathtub, Miss Greenwood. Of course, I didn't start out with that contraption. Oh, I began with an ordinary weighing machine.
Weighing machine?
Yeah. I seen one standing on the corner, so I sneaked up to it and silently stole away. To get it away.
Oh, Junior, you bow me down.
How could you make $1 million with a weighing machine?
Well, you see, Robert, Junior started on a small scale.
Oh, that does it. I give up.
Besides, you really got all that money. Where are you hiding it?
Oh, don't you worry about that. Me and your Aunt Charlotte's got it all stashed away. Yes, sir. I don't say anything to anybody, but we got all that wealth hidden. And nobody's ever going to find out about it.
Miss Greenwood.
Chester, we got $1 million.
Robert, will you show Junior where that washing powder is?
Okay. Come on, Junior.
I can see I wasn't intended to overhear that conversation.
You mean what Junior was saying? Oh, that was just... Oh, what are you doing with your suitcase, Chester?
It's quite obvious. I'm leaving.
The Mortons, but why?
How could I possibly stay here after the way I was humiliated a few minutes ago?
Why, Chester, surely you haven't taken that to heart. Why, I've said the same thing to these children of mine.
There may be considerable intellectual difference between them and me. It's time you realized what I am.
Well, frankly, Chester, that's just what I'm beginning to realize.
I don't care to resort to veiled innuendo, Miss Beamer. I can tell you that I consider you...
Why, Chester, what's the matter? Where are you going?
Your brother didn't want me, and now your aunt has insulted me.
Oh, no. Aunt Charlotte, you didn't.
No, I didn't, unless it's insulting to remind a boy of his manners.
As if anyone in this house could remind me of manners.
But, Chester, what happened?
I don't intend to lower my dignity by explaining. Willa Morton has asked me to stay at her house, and I'm going there.
Willa Morton? Oh, Aunt Charlotte, why must this happen to me? Just when I wanted everything to be perfect.
Oh, now, darling, I guess I just don't understand children. Look, Chester, let's try and forget the whole thing. Now, come on, now, be a good boy and take your suitcase back upstairs.
Oh, no. You're not getting off that easy, Miss Greenwood. I have an uncle who's going to hear about you.
An uncle?
And mark my words, you're going to pay for this. Barbara, you can reach me at the Mortons.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you've spoiled everything. Aren't you sorry?
Yes, Barbara, I'm sorry. Sorry for the Mortons.
When we were children, remember how we looked forward to Easter? The day when we'd flaunt our first spring finery, when we'd color Easter eggs and exchange gay cards with all our friends. It's still a pleasure to exchange cards at Easter. More so than ever in wartime, when we all need the happy thoughts, the hope and comforting encouragement that Easter messages can bring. From the fine selection at your Hallmark dealers, you can choose a card appropriate for each friend, each dear one at Easter. A beautiful Easter card for Mother. A warm greeting to Dad and to each member of the family. You can choose those gay little cutout chicks and bunnies that every youngster loves. Or a special Easter card for your sweetheart. And of course, there are many lovely cards with inspiring religious messages. Yes, at your Hallmark dealers, you can choose an Easter card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. Remember, Easter is April 1st. So make your selection this week. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. You see, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now back to our story in the Barton home the following day. Charlotte doesn't know it yet, but there's trouble in the offing as the bell rings. And Bobby Barton goes to answer the door.
Oh, hello, Judge Cronin.
Ah, Master Bobby. Is your aunt at home?
Yeah, come in.
Thank you.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte.
Be there in a minute, Robert.
Say, Judge Cronin.
Yes?
Aunt Charlotte said the other day you were going to leave the bench.
It's quite right, young man. I've retired from the bench to take up private practice.
How long were you on the bench?
Exactly 28 years, 7 months, and 3 days.
Gee, that's a long time to be on the bench.
Indeed it is.
Why didn't they ever let you play?
What? Well, what's that? You don't understand.
Yes, how nice.
Well, I guess it's none of my business. See you later.
Well, this is an unexpected pleasure seeing you on this lovely morning, Judge.
Miss Greenwood, this is not a lovely morning.
Oh, it is, too. The little breezes are breezing, the buds are budding, and the little robins are robbing.
Robbing, yes. And so it would seem a week. As legal custodian of the Barton estate, I've just received this notice intimating that one of us, Miss Greenwood, has been attempting to defraud the government.
Really? Why, Judge Cronin, what have you done?
Well, I give... What have I done?
Why, you wouldn't do a thing like that, would we?
Of course we wouldn't. Now, look, Miss Greenwood, the government thinks you've been concealing taxable income. They're contemplating an audit of the Barton estate.
Oh, that's ridiculous. The Barton estate is an open book. A little dog-eared, perhaps. But still open.
Well, nevertheless, we're going to have to satisfy the government. And I
know. Excuse me, Judge.
Oh,
good morning.
I imagine this is the Barton residence.
It is.
Then I imagine you're Mrs. Greenwood.
Oh, you've got a wonderful imagination, but it's not Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry. I do hope that you're selling vacuum cleaners, young man.
No, I'm not.
Have you any nylon hose?
No, definitely no.
Then I don't think we'd be interested.
Just a minute. I'm from the Department of Internal Revenue.
Oh, we could use some revenue. Do come in, Mr.
Blake. My name is Jefferson Alexander Hamilton Blake.
Oh, yes, come in. All of you. Right this way, please. Judge Cronin, this is Mr. Blake from the, you know.
The what? Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Blake. I'm delighted.
Let me handle this, Miss Greenwood.
Did you say?
Oh, I was merely suggesting that Miss Greenwood let me take care of this. You see, I was for many years a judge in criminal court.
Oh, criminal court.
Yes.
Then you agree this is a criminal case?
Yes. No, I mean, now, wait a minute.
Well, maybe you'd better let me handle this, Judge. Now, just what is the trouble, Mr. Blake?
Well, I have this memo from my superior regarding the Barton estate tax return. It appears there may be some discrepancies in your form.
I admit that.
Oh, you admit it, eh?
Can I help it if I grew that way?
Miss Greenwood, the gentleman is referring to the fiscal figure.
Well, that's a new name for it.
He's not talking about your figure.
Then whose figure is he talking about? Yours?
No. My figure is neither here nor there.
Oh, but there's a lot of it in between.
Miss Greenwood, if you'll just let me take care of this. Now, Mr. Blake, what makes your superior think there's something wrong with our tax report?
It seems he received a letter from somebody saying that you were concealing assets and income amounting to millions.
Millions? Oh, that's absurd. Look, let me telephone your superior at once. What's his name?
Schuyler Van Orden.
Schuyler Van Orden? Why, good heavens, that's Chester's uncle. Why, Chester wrote that letter.
Chester?
Oh, that explains everything. Chester overheard Junior in one of those childish stories of his. He didn't have sense enough to see it was a joke.
Oh, Junior!
Yes, Junior!
Well, you can take my word for it, Mr. Blake. The Barton estate certainly has no concealed assets and very little income. The entire record is available to your auditors.
Very well, Judge Cronin. Under the circumstances, I believe you. Miss Greenwood, very fortunate this gentleman was here to assist you.
Yes, Mr. Blake. He is such a dear.
Well, I didn't think that you...
Oh, Aunt Charlotte! Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's all right, Robert. What do you want, dear?
Junior just left. He asked me to tell you he took all the rest of that gold dust out of the basement.
Gold dust?
Yes,
sir. Uh-huh. Not only concealing assets and income, but hoarding illegal gold.
But Mr. Brett...
No more explanations. We're all going down to the FBI.
Nice to be home again. Robert? Jeff? Barbara? Anybody home?
I'm here, Aunt Charlotte. Where have you been all day?
Oh, downtown, a little business. I had to straighten out. Nothing important. Oh, let's make a cup of tea.
Oh, I'll get it, Aunt Charlotte. Why, Chester, you came back.
Good afternoon, Barbara. Miss Greenwood. I merely came back to get a book I forgot.
Oh, yes, I found it in your room, Chester. I put it in the hall table here. This is the book. Are you a genius?
Well, answer the question, Chester.
Miss Greenwood, I seem to detect a certain amount of sarcasm in your tone.
That proves you are a genius.
And if it's because of what happened to you today...
What? What happened?
Oh, nothing much, Barbara. Because of Chester, Judge Cronin, Jr., and I spent the entire day at the federal building with the income tax people and the FBI.
Why, Aunt Charlotte!
But Chester was considerate. He didn't call the police.
Miss Greenwood, if you want my frank opinion...
I don't, but I'll probably get it.
As I was about to say, stupid people deserve to get into trouble. If they want to stay out of trouble, they'd stop making mistakes.
That's so true, Chester. That reminds me of that wonderful speech of yours, the one you gave Mr. Anderson...
I didn't say anything about mistakes in that speech.
Naturally, but do you remember what you said about the United States starting to become a maritime power?
Certainly, I said. The United States took the first step toward becoming a maritime power by marinating the entire East Coast. And...
marinating the East Coast.
What's wrong with that?
Not a thing, son, only it must have taken a lot of vinegar and olive oil to marinate the entire East Coast.
Marinate?
I thought you knew everything. Didn't you know that marinate means to soften with oil or vinegar?
Are you sure?
You're talking to a couple of cooks, son, and what we're dishing out, you'll have to take.
Well, gosh, well, this is terrible. I use that word all the way through my speech, and it's going to be printed in the Dispatch.
That's right. It comes out today.
But with that word, that mistake, I'll be a laughingstock. I've got to get a hold of Mr. Anderson and have him stop it.
Chester, do you think after the way you treated Mr. Anderson that he'll do you a favor?
Oh, Miss Greenwood, then you can fix it. Please, please call him up, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, no, I'm too stupid. I'd probably make matters worse.
But something's got to be done. I can't have people know I made such a stupid mistake.
Listen, Chester, a long time ago they found out that people made mistakes. That's why they have erasers on pencils. That's why newspapers have proofreaders.
You mean they corrected my mistake?
Well, I happen to know they didn't.
Then Mr. Anderson did.
No, Chester. Before Mr. Anderson took the speech, I corrected it.
You? Oh. Thank you.
That's all right, Chester. And now if you'd like to come back and stay with us, why, we'd just love to have you.
Thanks, Miss Greenwood. I think I'd be kind of ashamed now.
Oh, that's a good sign, Chester. Proves that you have something in common with everyday folks. You know, genius isn't something that sets itself above humanity. Genius is the understanding, warmth, and sympathy of all humanity in the heart of one man.
Thank you. I think I'd better be going now, Miss Greenwood.
Goodbye, Chester. And do come again.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, has the evening paper come?
What do you want to do, read Chester's speech?
No, Dick Tracy.
Oh, now there's a man who never makes a mistake. He is a genius.
Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, whatever the new spring fashion may be, there is one fact we may be sure of. The high hat, like Chester's, has definitely gone out of style. Conceit never was worth much. And now, with all of us engaged in one great task, its worth is even less. For the value of a man isn't in his importance to himself, but to his fellow man. Greatness is measured not by how much we have, but by how many we help. And now, until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying, so long, friends, again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long. So long.
Greenwood Show, written by Jack Casey and D.H. Johnson, John Brown, Charles Cantor, and Edward Ryan, prepared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.